This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Tim Donner, Republican candidate for U.S. Senate in Virginia. You may remember the last time we were together, Tim and I talked a lot about the economic woes facing this nation and the upcoming, at the time, a debt ceiling fight, which, of course, has been a major battle here in Washington and beyond as we still go through the details and figure out exactly what's in this compromise. And, Tim, it's always good to have you with us.
Always good to be with you, Greg.
You laid out your principles back then about what you thought was a responsible addressing of this situation. Now you've seen what the House, and in your case, particularly the Senate, did here. What's your reaction?
Well, I must say that the most heartening thing for me was that, you know, from day one of my campaign, which was not long before the last time that we spoke, about 3 months ago, I have championed the cause of a cap-and-balance constitutional amendment, one that would limit spending to 18% of GDP or of the total output of the economy and balance the budget, though I think the spending limit part is more important. It was heartening to see that made it into the bloodstream, so to speak, because I believe it is the only solution, the only permanent solution to the kind of embarrassing spectacle that we've seen in Washington lately. Only by permanently changing the terms of the debate and the way that Washington does business and putting unshakable limits on what the political class, what the oligarchy can do, will we avoid a replay of this debt ceiling debate. And let's not forget that the $2.5 trillion that have now been added to the previous over $14 trillion in debt, that $2.5 trillion will be expended in the space of about a year and a half. So we will see this debt ceiling thing come up again. And much to the pleasure of President Obama and the Democrats, it probably won't come up until after the 2012 elections. The deal that was put together was mostly unsatisfactory because the spending, quote, cuts that were in it were really more than just a slight trimming of the spectacular rate of growth, the almost unending growth of the size of the federal government. I would have voted against it. That said, because of the 87 House freshmen and patriots in the Senate like Senators DeMint and Rubio and Paul and Lee and Johnson and Toomey and Coburn, we were able to change the terms of the debate and get people thinking in terms of reducing rather than expanding. And this is the first battle in a long war, and very few wars are won in a single battle.
Tim, if in fact Republicans even post similar gains as they did in 2010 in the House and Senate, and you're a member of the new freshman class in the U.S. Senate, what do you suspect will be some of the first areas you go after? I mean, we're still going to have, obviously, the budget debate, appropriations bills this year, and who knows what else on the spending front before Election Day 2012. But what do you suspect, if there is a Republican majority, much less a Republican president, that some of the priorities that ought to be out there?
Well, I think I would draw a distinction between a Republican majority and a conservative majority, because we had a Republican majority for the first 6 years of this century, and what they did was they started us down the path that brought us to the point where we were over the last month with this debt ceiling debacle, where Republicans decided that they would throw up their hands and basically concede that government was always going to be big, so that if it was going to be big, they were going to further their own priorities rather than the Democrat or liberal ones, as opposed to taking a stand against the whole concept of a large federal government. So what we need is a conservative majority in the Senate, and with the aforementioned senators that I would join and who would basically serve as mentors for me in the Senate, I think we would want to take on the cap-and-balance constitutional amendment first thing, because then if we get that passed, and it will be a long road to getting it passed, two-thirds of both houses, and then it goes to the states, three-quarters of whom would have to approve it for it to become law, and then years before it was actually enforced. But by doing that, what we would be doing is avoiding these kind of debates over individual line items in the budget and whether it should be the Department of Education or Energy or the Environmental Protection Agency that should be cut the most or how much. When you place a permanent limit on what can be spent, then the Washington ruling class has to, in a sense, talk amongst themselves about how they're going to stay within those limits. So that would still be the number one priority for me, along with entitlement reform, because if you're going to get a hold of the federal budget, you have to deal with 100% of the budget. And basically what's been dealt with over time is 12% of the budget, known as discretionary domestic spending. When two-thirds of the budget, almost two-thirds of it is swallowed up in entitlement programs, and we have a Medicare program that by itself has $70 trillion in unfunded liabilities going forward, we need radical restructuring of these programs to save them for the next generation. That's why I put forward a Medicare reform plan that goes above and beyond the Paul Ryan plan. And what it proposes, and it's received a good deal of acclaim in Virginia, is to allow the next generation to be able to redirect their Medicare taxes into retirement health savings accounts, which will ultimately give people more control of their own money, more control of their own lives, improve the quality of health care, lower the costs, and create real consumer choice. So those are my top two priorities.
Couple minutes left with Virginia Republican Senate candidate Tim Donner. And, of course, at the moment, Tim, the front runner for the Republican nomination is former Senator Allen. He said he would endorse the cut, cap, and balance. You talked about the cap and balance amendment. Did you see major differences between yourself and Mr. Allen in this debate?
Not major differences in this debate. I think Governor Allen pretty much got religion on the idea of limiting the size of government, unlike when he was in the Senate for 6 years before. However, I would point out there were dramatic distinctions between myself and my eventual opponent, Tim Kaine, who twice came forward with about the worst of all possible proposals for dealing with this. First, he said he would simply, and this was just about a week ago, Greg, he said he would simply raise the debt ceiling and then deal with spending cuts later, and then demagogued the issue and said that I was favoring a default over bipartisan compromise, which is a lie. Chairman Kaine knows that it's untrue, and yet he promoted it anyway. But when we called him out on it, he then changed his position to an almost equally irresponsible position in favor of the so-called grand bargain of President Obama's that would include tax increases in the middle of an economic crisis where we're suffering very, very low growth. So he's not only out of touch with two proposals that had long since been pulled off the table, but in championing the most reckless possible approaches to the problem of this debt crisis. And we as Virginians, I know I as a candidate, will not let him forget where he stood in this whole debate.
Last question before we let you go. As you know, there's a phase two coming with all this, and that's this super committee made of half Senate, half House, half Republican, half Democrat. Some say that there could be tax cuts somehow involved in the agreement there. If no agreement's made, there could be some serious defense spending cuts. What do you most of all want to see and most of all not want to see come out of that?
Well, with great reluctance, Greg, I would have to compare the success of commissions in Washington to that of the Chicago Cubs over the last century. All of them consist of well-thought-of individuals or, in fact, members of Congress who do some hard work, put together a series of proposals, and then have them all fundamentally ignored in the end. I don't have any confidence in a bipartisan commission here because what they're going to come up with is something that either includes tax increases or the kind of spending cuts that, again, are just pushed out over a period of many years and can be reversed by future Congresses. That's the way that Washington does business. You take the tax increase, or in this case, the raising of the debt ceiling, and you put that all in place at the beginning, And then the hard part, the spending cuts, you just extend out over a decade, kick the can down the road for another future Congress to deal with. And that's the kind of approach that's gotten us into the fix that we're in right now, which if we continue heading that way, will turn us into Greece or something worse. And so I don't have a lot of confidence in that commission, nor would I be pleased with the fact that if the commission's recommendations are rejected, we would wind up with dramatic cuts in the defense budget that wouldn't be based at all on the facts on the ground, but just taking an axe and agreeing to the Democrats' approach, which is limited to raising taxes, cutting defense spending, and that's those are the only elements in their tired, worn-out liberal playbook.
Tim, real quick, where can folks find your website?
DonnerForSenate.com or TimDonner.com, and we hope people will like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter and contribute and volunteer and do whatever they can to spread the word. If they like what they've heard and they like the candidate, we're getting a lot of traction, Greg, now over the first 3 months of our campaign, and we're working hard and getting to every corner of Virginia.
Well, Tim, we certainly appreciate your time, and critical debates like the debt ceiling certainly give candidates in a lot of races a chance to distinguish themselves and really define where they stand on critical issues. So thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you, Greg. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you, sir. Tim Donner, Republican candidate for U.S. Senate in Virginia. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.